A jobs plan by any other name is still stimulus, but will it pass Congress?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The global perspective in a moment. First, more on the breakdown, our economy one step at a time, and Marketplace's special look at jobs and getting America back to work. President Obama today heads to Richmond, Virginia to pitch his presidential jobs initiative he laid out last night. The plan mixes tax credits, unemployment benefits, and infrastructure spending at a time when more than 9% of the workforce is without a job.
Building a world-class transportation system is part of what made us an economic superpower. And now we're going to sit back and watch China build newer airports and faster railroads at a time when millions of unemployed construction workers could build them right here in America?
Let's get some analysis now. Mark Zandi is chief economist with Moody's Analytics, and he's on the phone with us from London. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Steve.
If the president's proposal, we're talking, what, $450 billion were implemented, how's it going to change the economy and the unemployment rate?
I think it'd be a plus. If it were fully implemented, I think it would create almost 2 million jobs in 2012 and bring down the unemployment rate by a percentage point. Of course, the likelihood of getting it passed in its entirety is nil, but even if the small pieces of it get through, I think that would be helpful.
There are some new proposals in this, Mark, but a lot of this looks the same as we've seen before. I mean, what makes you think this is going to be any more effective?
You're right. A fair amount of it is in previous stimulus packages, but I think it will provide some juice, put some cash into people's pockets. And one thing that is new is that businesses, particularly small businesses, will benefit from lower payroll taxes, so that'll give them some much-needed cash. So I think there's enough impetus here to be helpful.
Mark Zandi with Moody's Analytics in London. Mark, thanks.
Thank you.
Now, the job market abroad, as we look at the global perspective on business and economics, Australia has enjoyed a low unemployment rate during the entire global recession. But as reporter Stuart Cohen tells us from Sydney, all that could be changing.
A booming mining industry and an unemployment rate of only 5% have made Australia the envy of the Western world. But for months, critics have said the country is relying on a two-speed economy, where workers and wages and mining jobs far outpace the rest of the economy. And now Heather Ridout of the Australia Industry Group thinks the tide could be turning on the country's enviable job market.
We've actually lost about 20,000 jobs since February this year in the manufacturing sector. And there are 100 here and 20 there and 30 there. And then you have one big one. You get 1,000 or 1,400 in one day. And that makes people sit and look up.
Thousands more cuts in construction, retail, and other industries have been announced in the past few months. And that has some workers worried for the first time in years.
I took a year off and I'm quite happy to be staying in the workforce right now if I can. I don't want to be without an income.
Brenda Gradwell just returned to work in April. After only 4 weeks of looking, she had two job offers from government agencies eager to make use of her decade of private sector skills. But now, even the state government she works for has announced 5,000 job cuts in its latest budget. Even with jobs, a lot of Australians are having trouble making ends meet, as high wages in the mining sector fuel inflation that hits everyone else. New data just released shows Australians are spending half their income on just the basics of living, housing, food, and transportation. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are lower, down about an average of 1%. Today's Wall Street Journal reports officials at Bank of America have discussed cutting as many as 40,000 jobs in a first wave of restructuring. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back more than 119 points to close at 11,295.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By United Methodist Church, offering an opportunity for listeners to join others to reclaim September 11th as a day of hope at RethinkChurch.org. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
Finance ministers from the world's seven leading economies are meeting in France today. They're talking about the European debt crisis, sure. But another thing on the agenda is the billions of dollars promised to post-revolutionary governments in Tunisia and Egypt. Reporter Julia Simon is with us this morning from Cairo to talk about what's at the center of the debate. Hi, Julia.
Hi, good morning.
Are the countries in the region, and I'm talking about Egypt and Tunisia and others, are they getting the money that they've been promised by the United States and others?
No, not yet. The $20 billion that the G8 promised to the region in May, the so-called Deauville Partnership on the Arab Spring, this week the Egyptian and Tunisian finance ministers announced that they still haven't seen any of that money yet. So this weekend, Egypt, Tunisia, and the Libyan National Transitional Council are at the G7 arguing their case to get that money as soon as possible.
Is it just money, Julia, or is there anything else that the revolutionary governments have been promised?
Yeah, in addition to the money, the Deauville Partnership also talks about new job creation, new free trade agreements across the Middle East, for Jordan and Morocco, too. There's even a line in there about solar power development, but at this point, a lot of it's still just talk.
Does the lack of support, I'm wondering, threaten any of the new elections?
Well, for now, the elections in Tunisia still look set for October and in Egypt for November. But the interim government still need to think about getting through the fiscal year. And Egypt especially is in loan talks with Gulf countries, thinking about its budget deficit. But it's important to remember that not everybody in these countries think that all this foreign money is a good thing. There are still a lot of people in this transitional period who are suspicious of foreign money and worry that it comes with strings attached.
Reporter Julia Simon in Cairo. Julia, many thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, police arrested a 44-year-old California woman for stealing library books. The woman got caught when she tried to take more books without checking them out of the Carlsbad Library in suburban San Diego. When police searched her home, they found thousands of books scattered everywhere, mostly about cooking, crafts, and animals. Investigators say she was probably going to hold a book sale for people interested in cooking, crafts, and animals. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. We're online at marketplace.org. You can get the podcast while you're there and check the numbers throughout the day, too, at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Jobs, jobs, and more jobs. It's been dominating the headlines, the airwaves, and the television screens. Last night, the president weighed in.
I am sending this Congress a plan that you should pass right away. It's called the American Jobs Act.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The Breakdown, our coverage of the economy one step at a time, wraps up with this not-so-easy question of, now what do we do? Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.